Relief for Small Businesses, Round 2. Small businesses who were not able to secure a loan under the Federal CARES Act earlier this month have another chance now, but it's not going smoothly. The online portal for the second round of loans, $310 billion total, had serious glitches yesterday. The banks submitting applications for their customers could not get through. It's the latest challenge for the program. The money available in the first round was used up quickly, and now big companies are under fire for receiving aid meant for small businesses. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Maine is a state dependent on small businesses, and according to analysts, one of the most vulnerable to an economic downturn during this pandemic. Today, we talk with the state and regional administrators for the Small Business Administration. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The economic impact of the COVID crisis in Maine has been severe, and small business owners and workers are feeling the brunt of the disaster. A new federal aid package means there is a second chance to apply for financial relief. We are going to talk with the experts at the SBA about how to seek support and what the prospects are for getting help. Joining me is Amy Bassett, who is director of the Maine District Office for the U.S. Small Business Administration. And Wendell Davis is the regional administrator for Region 1, which is New England. He is also with the U.S. Small Business Administration. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you tried to access help for your business but run into problems? What questions do you have about what you might qualify for? You can share your stories and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We anticipate a lot of questions, so if you do send an email, please try and keep that brief. So thank you so much, Amy and Wendell, for joining us today. I know it must be a very, very busy day for you, and I really appreciate you taking the time. Wendell, I want to start, though, by asking you about the new coronavirus relief package. In a second, I want to get to the glitches that we've been reading about in the newspapers, but first, let's back up. Who is this intended to help? Who qualifies for this latest round of relief?
Thank you, Jennifer, and thanks for having Amy and I on today, this afternoon. You know, I think it is important to kind of take stock in that round one and what happened as we embark on this round two, or we're in day two of round two. But when you look at, you know, what was the mark and did the round one hit its mark? And I would have to say that emphatically, yes, it did. Now, there were, I'm going to call them hiccups. There were obviously there's been a lot in the press about some of the more noteworthy recipients of the PPP loan. I think yesterday the Los Angeles Lakers announced that they had received a loan, but they're giving it back. But when you look at the overall numbers of the 1.6 million applications and small businesses that received PPP loans, roughly 4,400 received loans in an amount greater than $5 million. And of that, the lion's share, I have to think, and I don't have the granular data on that subset, but, you know, a large portion of those are going to be manufacturers and wholesales and critical companies that are important to the Maine economy and the New England economy. When you look at the overall numbers, again, what mark is it trying to hit? When you look at, of the 1.6 million applicants, 1 million of those applications that were approved went to small businesses with under 10 people as employees. 1.2 million were in an amount less than $150,000. 87% of all the loans were under $350,000. So in my view, the mark is, you know, did the PPP get down to those small businesses that they were intended to get to? And I think their answer is yes, despite some of the more, some of the press stories that we saw talking about some of the well-known universities and folks like the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you about that, Wendell, because my understanding is some of those companies that first received the funds have now returned the money. Shake Shack has returned the money at Los Angeles Lakers, some who even made much more money or took in much more in the loan, the Auto Nation. Now that that money is being returned, does that get wrapped into the second round of the money that's been returned? Is that going to go back out to smaller businesses now?
It is. So that money, I think it was just announced yesterday that that money is going to be returned back into that pool, and it's going to be made available for small businesses.
And tell me about yesterday. We're hearing that there were glitches, that the banks who are trying to file these applications on behalf of their customers just hit all sorts of glitches. And some reporting is that your system, the SBA system, crashed. Is that accurate? And how's it going today?
Yeah, so it did not crash. And I think in part in response to some of the press reports last week, the SBA then embarked and they put what they're calling they want to pace the loans. They put in bumper guards, so to speak, to make sure that there's an equal playing field for all banks. And I think in doing so, they kind of throttled back the overall application process. So we did get, I'm going to call them hiccups, because I think I'm confident, and I've already seen reports already today, that today's better than yesterday and that tomorrow is going to be better than today. But there were clearly hiccups, and as long as they're hiccups, hiccups go away. As long as those challenges go away, then I think all will be well in the end. If you recall that first round one, there in the beginning there were those hiccups, and you know at that time I was down in D.C. as part of the war room effort to stand up the PPP program, and we affectionately referred to the folks that we called them the nerd herd. I tell you, those folks were amazing when they. When we got a hiccup, they jumped in, whether it was 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, the middle of the day. You know, these folks jumped in, they resolved the issues, and were able to move on. And I think most people would say, when you take a 35,000-foot view, the fact that the SBA was able to process $349 billion worth of loans within roughly 12 days, it was a truly remarkable feat. And just to give a little bit of perspective, in all of last year, the SBA did a total of $330 billion across the entire nation, the entire year. And in that short 12, 13 days, it was $349 billion. So when you put it in that perspective, it truly was a remarkable feat.
Amy, I want to ask you about Maine's experience. After round one, how many Maine businesses ended up receiving the PPP loans? What was the average loan? And how many are waiting and hoping to receive a loan in this round? How many applied after the money had run out?
Thanks, Jennifer, for that question. So in round one, we had, honestly, I was so impressed with our lenders. We had great success. There were almost 15,000 PPP loans approved in Maine for almost $2 billion. And we are a little competitive in New England. Wendell will vouch for me. And I was so impressed that in Maine, we were number 3 in the region. So we were right behind Massachusetts and Connecticut for getting the most PPP loans for our small businesses in Maine. And that is really thanks in large part to our lending community here. And that was also through 150 different lending institutions. So some of these institutions are nationwide. So some of that came into Maine and benefited us as well. But almost every single bank, credit union, or any lender that could work with us was working with us on those loans. And again, to really illustrate, this wasn't big businesses getting big dollars. Our average PPP loan size was just a little over $133,000.
How many, do you have a sense of how many Maine businesses are sort of in the pipeline and hoping for a loan this round?
So we have been hearing a little bit anecdotally through some of our lenders, you know, and those backlogs have ranged anywhere, you know, with our credit unions and some of our newer lenders, you know, they may have less than 50 loans that they're looking to put through. But then from some of our larger partners, you know, we're hearing up to a couple thousand. So it kind of is running the gamut. But again, we're hopeful that they'll be able to get all those in eventually.
Wendell, the first round, and correct me if I'm wrong, $349 billion. The second round, $310 billion. How quickly do we expect the new round of money to last? How much time do companies have to apply for this funding?
It is clear that the demand in the small business community in that first round clearly outpaced the actual funding. And I think what we saw last week during that pause before the new funding came down the pike, I believe on Thursday, was this accumulation of all kinds of applications. So I think what happened yesterday in part was not only the throttling the back, but also this increased load of applications. In fact, yesterday, the volume was double that of any period of time during that round one period of 12 days. So there is clearly a demand out there. And how long that's last, it's going to last. The last time was 12 or 13 days. I'd be surprised if it lasted that long. With that being said, though, there are some set-asides, and I think Congress, what they did was, you know, they thought about it, and they've reserved some of the funds for CDC, CDFIs, and the community banks. And the rules around that and how that's going to take form is still not been done. So there, I think there's going to be a little bit longer runway for some of the smaller banks and to reach some of those communities that we desperately, you know, so want to reach in smaller rural areas and also some of the urban areas and some of the underserved communities.
A few minutes ago, we were talking about some of those bigger companies that applied for and received loans during the first round. This time around, are there measures in place to ensure that the big players don't hog up the funds again?
Yeah, so one of the things that the Secretary Mnuchin did immediately was that we received guidance, I believe, Friday night in response to that. And the guidance, what it essentially did, there was this requirement, this certification process, where the small businesses and the not-for-profits have to certify that they've been impacted by the COVID-19 response. And I think without fail, everybody's been impacted in some way, shape, or form. What the secretary did was emphasize that it also has to be necessary. So if you have access to capital, if you have funds that are available, then you're probably not going to meet that necessary test. And in the regulations, I'm sorry, the guidance, what they did was they essentially said, hey, you know what, your application, we're going to assume everybody was acting in good faith, and you have until May 7th. If you don't meet that necessary requirement, then we expect you to give that money back. And what you're seeing in response to that is most of the companies that have been highlighted in the press have given that money back. And, you know, I think it's important, even though it's a little bit frustrating from the SBA's perspective, because we're seeing these loans go to small businesses, but I still think it's important that those other entities that was highlighted in the press, because it gave the SBA, it gave Treasury the ability to step in and say, hey, folks, this wasn't the intent of the program. Here's the new guidance. And then moving forward, you know, we're hopeful that that's not going to be an issue in this round two.
You said that deadline is May 10th. Do you believe there might be another source of funding come May 10th? That on that day, there may be a reopening one more time to this PPP loan process?
I believe it's May 7th, and that's just for the certification process, just for clarification to give those entities that receive funds that may not have needed the funds. That's the deadline for them to pay that loan back if they did receive funds, and now they're with the new guidance, they're seeing the light and they're seeing that, hey, this wasn't necessary. That's the deadline for them. In terms of more funding, you know, as an executive agency, you know, it's our job to implement and execute on whatever Congress provides to us. So, you know, I leave that to the congressional folks to make a determination of whether or not more funding is needed. I can tell you last week when we woke up, whatever day that was, I think it was Thursday when it got approved, that the SBA world in New England and Amy and her staff, we had an extra bounce in our step when we knew we had additional funding to go out and help more small businesses.
Sure. And Amy, I want to come back to you, and I wanted to know if there are one or two stories that you would like to highlight of companies, that have already received some funding and what they were able to do with the money. And then also for companies that are considering applying this round, what information they need to have ready.
Sure. So we are, respectful of, you know, these folks really have a lot on their plates, these small businesses, and trying to deploy these funds and deploy them within the parameters that have been provided at this point. So we're working actively to sort of identify some who you know, have had success and would like to share that story with us. So I apologize that I can't name names right at this specific moment in time. And really a lot of that is just because myself and my team and all the lenders, and I know all the business owners, have just been heads down trying to get these loans done and trying to get the word out. So that really has been a lot of what we're focusing on. But as far as, and what we did see happening is, you know, when the money started to run out and ran out back on the 16th, 17th timeframe there, there was already, you know, a building right then of additional applications to be input. So the lending community kept going, kept maintaining these queues, kept maintaining this backlog in the hopes that additional funding would become available. So there was, when it all started, a big backlog at the lenders already to be input. So anybody now who still hasn't got their application into their lending partner, do it now, please. We are just telling people to don't wait, don't delay, just to get those applications in and get into the lending institution's queue.
All right. We have so many calls and emails coming in. I'm going to try to go to one or two before our break. We're going to go to Michael, who's calling from Bar Harbor. Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
I believe I'm on. Am I on?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I'm in Bar Harbor. our community is going to be devastated by this thing. And I've been in business here for 28 years. I run a small bird watching company. I've started Maine's first bird watching festival. That was canceled this Maine. So we aren't seeing, or at least at my size of a business, we are not seeing any funding yet. And the EIDL is, you know, we're a business like mine could really use some of that money, and we're not getting it. So can you assure us that we're going to get some help? We're really just freaking out a little bit out here. So any assurances you could give us, that'd be great. And I'll listen for your answer. Thank you very much.
And Michael, why don't you stay on the line in case Amy has any questions for you. Amy, go ahead.
Thank you for that question. And I know we talk about hiccups. One of the good things on the plus side that happened in Maine is that we were the first state in the country to get that economic injury disaster loan declaration back on March 17th. The governor and the Department of Economic and Community Development jumped right on that, got all the data in, and got Maine first in line for those economic injury disaster loans. And then what happened shortly thereafter is every other single state came on board. So then when you talk about that magnitude of applications, that just really became a challenge again for our systems because we had never seen anything like that. But I'm happy to report they are, economic injury disaster loans are still being processed. So the latest data that I have, and this is official data that we're allowed to release, again, we're third in New England on this, was 315 idle applications for about $50 million. So if you have questions about a specific idle application, please feel free to reach out to my office at 622-8551, and we'll give you the most current information that we have.
All right, Michael, good luck to you, and thank you so much for calling into Maine Calling today. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and more of your comments and questions. We'll also hear from the president of the Maine Bankers Association. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Holocaust and Human Rights Center of Maine, inspiring students to confront prejudice and discrimination through educational programs at the Michael Klar Center, and Bernstein Shore, a law firm dedicated to clients' businesses and their best interests. BernsteinShore.com.
COVID-19 has changed daily life in the United States, and with news breaking by the hour, it can be hard to stay up to date. I'm Michelle Martin. Join us every weekday for a new live conversation about the disease, what you need to know, what's coming next, and we will answer your questions. The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us tonight at 9 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Trusted news, quality entertainment, and lifelong learning is what Maine Public Television is all about. four channels strong, and a reminder about the new daytime educational fair, from science to nature to history programming for the older kids at home. We have the PBS Kids channel for preschool kids, but our main channel has more afternoon programming for older learners, starting at 1 each afternoon. And the main Public World channel is offering the same each weekday afternoon from 12 to 5. Television programming that is worthwhile and educational to watch. See the schedule for our main HD and World channels at mainpublic.org. Click on the television drop-down.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, support for small businesses, what aid is available, and what to do to try to access it. My guests are both with the United States Small Business Administration. Wendell Davis is the Regional Administrator for New England, and Amy Bassett is the Director of Maine's District Office. On the line with us now is Chris Pinkham. He is President of the Maine Bankers Association. Thanks so much for calling in, Chris.
Thank you for including me in your program, Jennifer.
Chris, what's been the experience of the Maine banks during the second round of the PPP funding? Is today so far better than yesterday?
Well, we've just about completed the 27th hour of round two, and it has been, I believe, 27 hours of work at most of Maine's banks. I think the earlier discussion points about the difficulties and the hiccups really did cause a great problem in terms of timing. We did have this pent-up demand of the last 8 days before the program reopened, and everyone was anxious to start loading their applications into the system. And what a surprise, nationwide, that being done at every lender created some major problems. Yesterday was very frustrating. I think bankers were trying to call customers and reassure them that the system was working, the application was complete, but there were no or very few applications accepted. This morning I hear reports that some institutions were able to have a number of apps accepted overnight. This morning there was another slowdown, but I do believe that we are slowly getting the backlog put into the system, accepted. That generates the approval, and of course, once that happens, we're in a position to close the loan, get a signature, and disperse the funds back to the business so they can get it into the Maine economy.
At the top of the program, Wendell gave us some pretty dramatic numbers about the difference and just the scale of what the Small Business Administration is processing. I'm sure it's the same story for small banks in Maine. Have the banks and their staffs been able to keep up with the workload that this PPP and CARES program is generating?
Well, all hands on deck has been the word throughout the industry. I do think a lot of people have been repurposed in terms of their usual jobs at banks and put into positions of helping to push the applications through the system. I will say a great appreciation to Amy and her team at the Maine District Office, not only have they been available to answer questions and help with processing, they have been there all the time to answer those questions. That's been a great help to the industry. In terms of the individual banks, I think regardless of size, we've had an extraordinary demand from customers, not only for getting their application together, but wanting to know on a daily or in some cases hourly basis, how is my application doing? I think that's one of the great frustrations of this slowing down of the system, that we really do want our business customers to be able to know. And they're worried that this round might at some point max out dollar-wise. So everyone's anxious to get their loan approved and have the funds dispersed.
Does a small business have to already be a customer to Maine Bank to complete the loan process there? And if they are not a customer, where can they turn? What can they do?
Well, when the program initially rolled out, I think there was a natural tendency by lenders to go to their customer base and work with those organizations first, primarily because we have some federal regulations that we must meet in terms of knowing our customers. So someone who was in the system already had a credit relationship with a bank. It was easy for them to start up the process. New customers have been accepted almost at all banks across the state, and those customers, it takes a little bit more time to get them into the system. We have to complete our federal requirements for knowing who they are and about their business. But once that is completed, we're processing those applications really at the same pace as all the others. I think earlier someone mentioned it's important if businesses are still thinking about this, they really do need to get all of their information together. Certainly reach out to your lender or any financial institution that you have a relationship with. I think your earlier point about almost all banks and credit unions in Maine have been participating in the program.
Chris, before I let you go, Chris Pinkham, president of the Maine Bankers Association, wondering if you have any questions for Wendell Davis or Amy Bassett or vice versa before we let you go. Chris, anything you'd like to ask Wendell and Amy?
Well, the only thing that I would ask is, as they talk to their peers in Washington, that we talk about the next step in the program. And that is one of the great advantages of the CARES Act was that this loan can be forgiven. We are yet to see the final regulations on how that forgiveness aspect will take place. But in 6 or 8 weeks, which is the time frame that the money needs to be released to employees and to pay some of the bills, the information for that forgiveness has yet to be at least released. The sooner we have that, that's going to help a lot of businesses make some decisions about how they move forward. We've had a situation over the last few weeks where FAQs and additional guidance has come out somewhat randomly. As soon as they have completed assessing some issue, they've put out more information. It would be very helpful if in the forgiveness part of the program, we had that information in advance so everyone understands what the rules are.
Wendell?
That's my only request.
Yeah, no, Chris, and there's not a day that goes by for me that I'm not making a request. When are we going to get the guidance on forgiveness? That is a daily drumbeat that I am personally requesting on a daily basis. Now, they're obviously considering it. They're talking about it. There was some guidance that just came out on seasonal workers that I think will be helpful for Maine as it goes into the seasonal workforce and folks. I know Michael was from Bar Harbor. I've done a number of webinars with accounting firms and law firms, and the questions that those folks ask are they're good questions, and they're very granular. And the one thing I would say is, in the statute itself, there's some pretty good generic guidance, which is, if you're a small business, and this is payroll, it's going to be forgiven. And it's the accountants and the attorneys that are then taking that. It's like, okay, what does that mean? Does it include this? Does it include this subset? And that's where you get these really, and they're incredible questions and they're good questions. And on some level, there's going to be some guidance, but on some level, as you get more and more granular, the accountants and the attorneys and the bankers of the world are going to have to use their experience and their guidance they've gotten from other treasury regulations and the like to make calls on that. Bottom line is the part of, I think, the concern early on was that there was this 75%, 25% rule. And there's a question, wow, if 75% wasn't utilized for payroll, is that a cliff? Am I going to lose all the forgiveness? And that's not the case. It's going to be if you don't reach that 75%, it's going to be kind of a pro rata diminishment of the forgiveness. And any residual amount, the borrower is going to be able to repay that back if they're not going to get that forgiveness. So there are some mechanisms in place. But I agree with you. And every single day, it's like we need more guidance on that. So hopefully, when I woke up Monday morning, I was hoping that was going to be the case. And Tuesday morning, I was hoping it was going to be the case. So same thing on Wednesday. We definitely need that guidance.
And Wendell and Amy, I'll turn it around for you. Either of you have something you'd like to ask Chris before we let him go back to work.
Sure. I honestly want to thank Chris and also Todd Mason from the Maine Credit Union League. Throughout this, I think our three organizations have just been lockstep in ensuring that we're getting out information timely, but also correct information. And I just cannot thank them enough for the support that they've given us throughout this whole thing. And we have a new friendship, and we are going to be long-term friends, I can tell, just because of this. So thank you, Chris, for all your support.
Thank you.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. That's Chris Pinkham. He is president of the Maine Bankers Association, joining us on Maine Calling today. We're going to go to Richard, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi there. So our company just got approved for a PPP, so we're very thankful for that and closed on that a few days ago. And while I've been waiting on the line, the question about getting the details out for loan forgiveness, that's the reason why I'm calling. You know, we're planning how we're going to spend this over the next 8 weeks, and the lack of detail is very difficult because we aren't able to return to work immediately. We brought, as of this week, all of our managers back, but our frontline folks, there's no work for them to do yet. We can try to figure out trainings they can do from home, but we do work at customers' locations, and they're not ready. So this forgiveness thing is a real big deal, and I guess it's really straightforward if we had work to go to. Where it gets difficult is if maybe we want to wait a month to bring people back, then we have 4 weeks left. We don't want to suddenly be on the hook because I think we have to make plans for the long term, and I think it's going to be rough this summer and going forward in the Maine economy. So I thank you for asking for the details, but what hope do we have to have details before we have to put actions and be held accountable to those actions?
Yeah, absolutely. Was it Chris?
Richard.
Richard.
Richard. I'm sorry, Richard. Yeah, so I think this might be helpful, and I hope it is. So this is, Jennifer, this is counterintuitive for small business owners. This is the Paycheck Protection Program, and I know a small business owner, when they want to bring employees back, they're like, well, you know, we may not have work for them. The Small Business Administration and the Department of Treasury understands that, and they know that because of certain shelter-in-place rules, you can't have that same workplace that you had before. But, you know, the whole point behind the program is to get a small business from point A to point B, which is that eight-week period. And we understand that if there's no work, you can still pay that employee because we want small businesses to maintain that relationship, and we want that paycheck protection. So even if there isn't work, if you're bringing your employee back and you're paying them as part of their salary, that's going to be forgiven. So that is clear. And hopefully that answers the question. But I know that's counterintuitive because it's like, wait, we don't have work. How can we bring people back and pay them?
Richard, thanks for your question and good luck to you and your company. We have an email here from Dee. I have an apartment that I offer on the vacation rental market. It is an important part of my yearly income. My cancellation started in early March for reservations in March through early July. I'm taking a big hit. I applied for the PPP and just this morning was told that this type of business is not covered. Is there anything else available that I might be eligible for? Amy?
Sure. And again, that is correct guidance because, as Wendell said, it's the paycheck protection. So it's really designed to address income for the business. What they have to be documenting is that their income and that the income what is going towards payroll cost. And sometimes that is very challenging for self-employed or for businesses that are in rental type properties. It would certainly be something that they could consider the economic injury disaster loan for. We would certainly encourage folks to apply, but I do want to caution in that regard that that program is currently not taking additional applications at this point, but if it does become open for applications, she could certainly consider applying for that. And really what that program is a little more flexible, and it's got a more of a longer term approach. But again, both of these programs are really designed for working capital type needs. And so one of the challenges has been, you know, people are seeing dramatic drops in sales. And so there may be other loan products. They may be a traditional SBA guaranteed loan product or something that eventually might be a good fit in some of these cases. May not be a good fit in this case, again, because we don't typically deal with these types of businesses. But I would certainly say reach out to whatever lending institution you have a relationship with, because there may be things that can be done to defer payments on debt that you owe or other ways that you can address that overhead factor to kind of compensate for the loss in sales.
Yeah, and for the record, Amy, we're getting a lot of emails and questions from similar stories, people who have are either self-employed or sole proprietors and don't feel as though they're eligible for PPP funding and are wondering what is available to them. So you would ask them, one, to contact the SBA, but also their local bank or credit union.
Yeah, and Jennifer, just to be clear on that, the sole proprietors are eligible. So one of the questions I had for Michael, too, Michael from Bar Harbor mentioned that he applied for the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. But I would urge him to apply for the PPP loan because there is a provision in the statute that makes it eligible for sole proprietors and also for independent contractors. So they are eligible, and essentially they're going to be able to recoup that 8-week period, 2 months of their pay from the prior year as part of that application process. So I would urge Michael and any sole proprietor and any independent contractor to reach out to the lending community and get an application in.
All right. Well, we have a question here. Julia on Facebook, will some of this new round of funding go to the SBA's Economic Injury Disaster Loan or EIDL Fund? And the answer is no, right, Wendell?
Well, the new round of funding in the legislation did include funds for the EIDL loan product. So one of the challenges for the EIDL loan, so the EIDL loan is there not just for the COVID-19 response. So that program is there, and they were already helping folks out in Tennessee with the tornadoes. They're still processing loans from him, Harvey, Irma, and Maria. And so that the appropriation for that program was already in place, and it quickly ran out just because of the unprecedented demand. So in response, Congress did provide more funds to the EIDL program. So that's kind of our hope now, is that because it didn't have the funding, now it does. You're going to start seeing some of those EIDL loan applications get processed.
All right, well, we need to take another quick break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments for the Small Business Administration. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Breakwater in Portland, offering summer day camp programs for kids ages 3 to 18. Registration at enrichment.breakwaterlearning.org.
On This Day in Maine's History is brought to you in partnership with the Maine Historical Society.
The Maine Potato Week campaign started on April 28, 1918, urging locals to eat potatoes and to ration wheat. During World War I, the Federal Food Administration encouraged substituting ground oats, cornmeal, rice, barley, potato, and buckwheat in place of wheat flour. Bread made from the wheat flour was sent to American and Allied troops abroad. The campaign slogans included "Eat more potatoes and save the wheat," "Save the wheat and help the fleet," and "The kitchen is the key to victory. Eat less bread."
On This Day in Maine's History is made possible through the generous support of Marshall Communications. Happy birthday, Maine!
The daily Maine CDC briefing on the coronavirus is scheduled to take place an hour later this afternoon at 3 p.m. Governor Mills is expected to join Dr. Shaw and other officials at today's briefing. Maine Public Radio, Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page will all bring it to you live. In addition, each day's address is archived at MainePublic.org for later on-demand viewing or listening. Just choose the television drop-down. Again, Maine's CDC briefing with Governor Mills, Dr. Shaw, and other officials an hour later than usual at 3 this afternoon and carried here on Maine Public Radio as well as Maine Public Television, MainePublic.org, and the Maine Public Facebook page.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today we're talking with the Small Business Administration to get advice on accessing financial aid during this crisis. Joining me, Amy Bassett, who's director of the SBA in Maine, and Wendell Davis, administrator for the New England region. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. I'm going to go to Zach on Facebook. He said, the rule change implemented yesterday for seasonal businesses is terrific, but my bank is telling me I cannot benefit from that rule since my business was already accepted for a PPP loan last week. Is this true? The new rule would allow me to take a loan nearly three times larger. The new rule allows for seasonal businesses to base their payroll expense calculation on their peak weeks rather than spring months when they aren't doing much business. Wendell?
Yeah, Amy, do you want to answer that question? Because I know that guidance is helpful. That doesn't sound right to me, but it may be difficult to go in and revise the application. Amy, do you have any insight on that?
Sure. Yeah. What transpired is, and this was really impactful for Maine, is the prior calculation was utilizing an 8-week period that didn't really factor in summer, which is our high season here in Maine. So it wasn't as helpful. So under the new rule that came out, a small business can now look back at 2019, and the period of time is May 1st of 2019 through September 15th of 2019. So they can utilize that period of time in any 8-week period to determine what that payroll cost, that payroll need is in determining ultimately what the loan amount is. I would say, again, please feel free to reach out to our office. These lenders, we're throwing a lot of rule changes and things at them quickly, and sometimes it's hard for them to keep up. Again, heads are down. They're trying to enter in the loans. But these loans can be increased, so we'd be happy to sort of have a conversation with the applicant and see if there's a way potentially, if that additional documentation can be provided, that perhaps a modification could be done.
We'll go to an email from Kate. My husband is a chef here in Portland. Late last week, the owner notified him that they received one of the PPP loans. Within 2 days, the owner fired him and all of the kitchen staff. We've been told that he is now hiring a new kitchen staff, presumably at lower pay rates. I'm wondering if this is an appropriate action in conjunction with this loan, and what are the proper channels for reporting a business that may be misusing these allotted funds?
Wow, I have not received, I have not heard of anything like that. I think it's important for that person to reach out to Amy. Let's get the facts surrounding that, and then we can channel it to the appropriate folks that would be reviewing that.
All right, we'll go to Rhonda, who's calling from Belfast. Hi, Rhonda, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I had actually received a PPP. I'm a small business here in Belfast. That's great. I was given the wrong information, though, when I applied and was told that it would be for my – I have one employee, and we got it for the one employee. But in hindsight, and what I've learned is that I should have applied for me as well, and I did put an application in. And I think it went through the bank. I work with a local bank here. But – because we received something already and we have the money, is it going to be able to be modified? Am I out of luck because I got the wrong information? It would have been fine. I mean, it would have been easy for me to put in a Schedule C or a profit and loss and have all of us covered, both of us. But that didn't happen, and now what's happening after the fact is that I'm not clear if I'm really going to get a get through this time.
Amy?
Sure. Yes, I would say, again, that guidance that sort of gave more clarity around how to determine the eligible loan amount for sole proprietors just came out late Friday and over the weekend. So our lenders may not have had a chance to fully digest that yet. But I do want to confirm that these loans can be modified, can be increased or decreased. But as long as you have that supporting documentation, certainly reach out to your lender and feel free, again, to utilize our office if you have any kind of problems with that, or we can be of any assistance in that regard.
Thanks for your call, Rhonda. Good luck to you. An email from Melody. The Calais Regional Hospital was denied federal CARES Act funds the first time around because it had filed for bankruptcy last year. Will the SBA waive their regulations in this regard so CRH, Calais Regional Hospital, can receive funds this time around in order to keep their staff and hospital from going under? Wendell, have thoughts on this?
Yeah, Jennifer, we're well aware of that situation, and the congressional leadership in Maine has elevated that to the highest levels at the SBA, and so has Amy. To her credit, she has sent me email after email of letters of support for the hospital in Calais, Maine. What I can tell you is that that is being considered and it's being looked at. I don't have the answer, and we haven't received a response yet from that request, but it is being considered, and all the folks in Maine are rallying around the hospital.
An email from Becky. I'm a sole proprietor. Do I have to choose between unemployment and a PPP or an EIDL loan, or can I apply for all three? Amy.
Sure. So with the PPP and unemployment, there is a crossover there. And so you would not be able to utilize both programs for the same purpose. We're saying a lot of no double dipping. So if you're collecting unemployment, then you would not be collecting, utilizing the PPP program for payroll costs. That being said, EIDL has a different parameter on what that can be used for. So if she's already applied for that, that's terrific and is in that queue. And I know that the state, we are getting a lot of questions on unemployment, and we're not the experts on that. So I would certainly suggest taking a look at their website to find out what the latest facts are there on that collecting of unemployment for self-employed folks.
An email from Monica. If you do receive funds from the PPP plan, does it get taxed as income?
Yes, my understanding, and Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was actually guidance on this, or maybe it was part of a Q&A session. The forgiveness of the loan in a conventional circumstances would be deemed taxable, that forgiveness, but in this instance, it is not taxable. Amy, is that your understanding? Just to confirm that. I hate to steer somebody wrong on that.
No, there was an early on confirmation. You are right that because this was a point of clarity that it would not be a taxable event.
All right. We're going to go to Tom, who's calling from Monroe. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi. I was curious. It's been well publicized that a lot of big corporations have gotten various millions of dollars out of all of these funds. But I'm kind of curious, how much are the actual banks and lenders? Because I heard one report that J.P. Morgan alone made $14 billion off the first round.
Yeah, I don't have those numbers at hand, but there is a fee that the lenders are allowed to charge. That fee it's typically the responsibility, again, in a conventional setting, that fee usually gets passed on to the applicant or the borrower. In this case, it's not. But there are fees. I just don't have the macro numbers and how much those fees are.
Amy, do you have anything to add to that?
So, one of the things I like to always stress is, again, this was a tough lift for lenders to do this. I mean, this was a big ask, and in Maine, we were so fortunate they stepped up. But I know built into the program, there is a fee structure for the lenders. But if this rolls over into a loan that's not forgiven, it's a 1% interest rate. And, there have been a lot of, inputs cost to the lenders. And I know there is a fee structure. But again, this is another piece of guidance that SBA has not finalized yet. So I can for certain say that those fees have not been paid by SBA to a lender at this point.
Tom, thanks for your question. A lot of questions about unemployment, and as Amy mentioned, this is for the Department of Labor, a question for the Department of Labor, but from the Maine Department of Labor, a new piece of information that self-employed workers and independent contractors will be able to apply for federally funded unemployment benefits starting May 1st. Self-employed workers, independent contractors will be able to apply for federally funded unemployment benefits starting on May 1st. So we'll move on to Karen, who's calling from Castine. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for your show. I've learned so much from you during this time. I am a small business owner with a tourism company, and I did get the first round of PPP loans, but then as someone said, things kind of changed as far as understanding what a sole proprietor can do. And I think you've answered some of those questions, but I did revise my application and it went in today again. And I'm wondering, how is a sole proprietor going to document paying their own payroll? Many of us as sole proprietors don't really pay ourselves, although I took my net profit, you know, divided by 12, and that's how we came up with the figure, not May through September.
Okay, Amy?
Sure, and again, we are beyond anxiously waiting for the final details on how that forgiveness calculation is exactly going to work. What we are telling everybody, though, is we know you have to, we have to start making this, spending the money on payroll. Just keep really good, solid records, whether it's banking records, whether it's payroll records through a payroll company, whatever it is, maintain those terrific and great records because that's what you're going to need. But if you look at what the loan amount was determined on, they had small businesses drafting out, or sole proprietors, drafting out their Schedule C for their 2019 federal tax return. So that is the document that was used to determine what the loan amount is. So think on those lines as far as what supporting documents you would use to file your taxes, as far as what you're going to need to have for the forgiveness piece.
Karen, thanks for your question. I'm going to try to read another one, Carol, on Facebook quickly. We started calling employees back to work the day we received our PPP loan funds. Several declined. They said they'd prefer to stay home and collect both the Maine and federal unemployment checks. We're finding it hard to get our staffing levels back to where they should be. The employees who were in the $15 to $20 an hour range don't have much incentive to come back to work. I thought they would lose their benefits once they were called back, but that had not been proven to be the case. Any advice would be appreciated. We're very tight on time, but Wendell, any thoughts about businesses in this situation?
Yeah, and I don't want to get in the lane that I'm not comfortable with, but I would definitely have that small business owner look and explore the unemployment rules, because once the offer for work is put out there and offered, you know, I would wonder whether or not the employee, you know, I don't know what the rules are around that. So I would definitely look at those rules. I know traditionally, if you have worked, then that's one of the requirements for unemployment, that you actively seek out work. And I don't know if that's been suspended. I'm not sure if what Maine has done with that, but it's definitely something a small business owner should look at. And folks, you know, quite frankly, everybody should be looking at what the rules are and making sure that they're complying with all the rules. And I think that would be a great example of where that should occur.
Well, Wendell Davis, Regional Administrator for the New England U.S. SBA, and Amy Bassett, SBA's Administrator here in Maine, thank you both so much for giving us your time. I know that you've said many times, Amy, over this course of this hour, that if people have further questions, to reach out to your office. Sandra Harris ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. In a little while, at 3 o'clock, Maine Public Radio will broadcast the daily CDC briefing today with Governor Janet Mills, as well as Nirav Shah and Commissioner Jean Lambrew. Stay tuned for that at 3. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.